Blog Talk Radio.
Now if you think I'm some sideline type chick, think a guy's gonna tell me lies, best recognize real quick, bitch, you got the wrong bitch, bitch, you got the wrong bitch, you got the wrong bitch. If you think you gonna slanderize my name, you done lost your mind, ain't got time for all these games, bitch. You got the wrong bitch, bitch. You got the wrong bitch. You got the wrong bitch. Cause I bite my tongue for no wizard. I fight with fire and a snow blizzard. I tear that animal sick. Down of them sitting down. We got cold lizards like, it's with business. That's a silent eye, and I'll be silent the day I see motherfucking monkeys fly. They flying now. Now if you think that this witch won't expose the fact that 5-0's dropping houses on hoes, bitch, you got the wrong bitch, bitch, you got the wrong bitch, you got the wrong bitch. And if you trying to wash my blood off these bricks, you think that I won't find the guy that came into my kicks, bitch, you got the wrong bitch, bitch, you got the wrong bitch, you got the wrong bitch. But don't believe everything you read, cause I won't back down and I won't concede. Which came through first, what more you need? Yeah, see the house, bitch, where's the D? That bitch, gravity, yeah, I'm defying her. Tell that bitch, wizard, I like his cowardly lion burn.
I'm Todrick Hall, and this summer,
you got the wrong bitch. I have the t-shirt, I have the hat. Like in real life, no, I really own the t-shirt and the hat. Sometimes you just have to let people know that they have the wrong bitch. I am Simply Nay. This is the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay, and today we are talking about what is a safe space these days. I think it's really, really important that we're talking about the things we're seeing on a daily basis, and I think it's really important that these conversations become accessible to folks who aren't reading the latest think pieces. And so that's what I'm really hoping to do today, and I'm very excited to have my guest Camille Bettina joining me to really talk about having us expand our definition of attack and being unsafe, having us be more diligent, and I'd even go as far as saying hyper-vigilant in making sure that, you know, we're creating safer spaces wherever we go, and really challenging our attackers and the folks who sit complacently as folks, particularly queer folks and femme bodies, are attacked. Was that a lot? That was a lot, right? It's cool. I'm going to our sponsors who make sure that we can do what we do every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're sponsored by Eve for Eve Online, the top flight, elite lesbian dating website and app. Get to know them at EVE, the number 4, EVEonline.com, and on all their social media. We are also sponsored by Lifestyle Power Players, a 501c7 organization for LGBTQ people of purpose and professionals. You can get your application at downwithlpp.com or by emailing them at lifestylepowerplayers@gmail.com. We are also very happy to be one of the many shows that Stand Omni Media produces. Stand Omni Media is a diversified digital media brand that amplifies the voices and cultures that are often silenced. If you have interest in being a guest on our show or any other, or possibly having your own show, I invite you to visit www.wheredoyoustand.com. We're going to get into another song. This one is actually by our guest. And when we get back, we'll be talking to Camille Bettina Atkinson about how to stay safe in these streets.
Got me sewed up like a pillowcase, but you let my love go to waste. So unchain my heart and set me, unchain my heart, darling, let me go. Care of me free.
She sang the shit out that. She got me wanting to light a cigarette, and I don't even smoke cigarettes. I need to go somewhere and talk about it. Put on like a hat with a feather in it. Hi, Queen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Can you hear me?
I'm amazing. I can hear you, and so can everyone else. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show and sending us this song.
Oh, my God. Thank you. That's what I do. That's how I don't pay the bills. I'm a singer.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into the loop of singing, how that became your career.
About what?
How you became a singer, how you started out with your career. Singing.
I there wasn't any stopping me. I started singing in the choir. I was a Catholic, so I sang in the ecclesiastical choir, but I also had Baptist relatives, and I would go to that church, and I would sing in that choir, too. And then I would come home from church and put on my mom's Janis Joplin and Stevie Nicks albums and sing the hell out of that. She'd just sort of stand there in the kitchen doorway looking at me like, what am I going to do with you? Whatever am I going to do with you? So I did the thing. I was the artsy kid that you have to take the dance classes and stuff like that. And I'm very, very lucky and very, very blessed that in my family, no one ever said, what's your fallback career or you should get a real job. They recognized from the start that I probably wouldn't be able to hold a real job, and this was all I had.
That's real. That's real. Like, that's the whole message in of itself, when you have a real support system that looks at and encourages your strength and doesn't tell you.
It's a blessing. Even if it's a chosen family, it's a blessing.
Definitely. So I wanted to get right in and like, publicly thank you for being a support. In this week when I had posted on my social media just about like how twice in the week I had been attacked, and at that point I don't think we had hit Thursday yet. And I really appreciated your commentary because you were one of the only people on the thread that really expanded the definition of an attack. So before we get to attacks and what they may be, I'd really like for you to share with the folks your definition of a safe space.
A safe place, a safe space is a space in which nonviolence is the prevalent quality of the space and power and control is the least prevalent quality of the space. So if you have nonviolence and equality thinking about negotiation and fairness, partnerships, non-threatening behavior, respect, trust and support, honesty and accountability, responsibility, shared responsibility, parenting responsibility, whatever you have, work responsibility, whatever that is. If that is the environment that you're in, if people have their glasses, their Google glasses turned to counting the goddamn beans, so that you are aware that, yeah, there's no black people in this office. That is, and I maintain this, that is oppressive to you if you are a white person and you have no people of color in your environment. That does not help your world be better. It keeps you isolated, on edge, unaware, and easily threatened. I mean, I come from a mixed family anyway, so I gentrify my bathroom when I go in there. But, you know, people moving into black neighborhoods and stuff like that will go to marches about gentrification and not speak to their black neighbors. That's not safe. That's not a community. You continue to allow things like that to build up with the microaggressions and the ignoring, the lack of awareness. And then you get into a situation where white people or non-POC people are moving into a POC neighborhood. They move next door to a bar and then call the police when people get rowdy. You need to be able to go downstairs and talk to people. But they can't talk to people because on every level, almost everyone, and I don't just mean white people, is afraid of people who are brown and loud. Everybody is afraid that there's some kind of like bad turn that we're going to take. Meanwhile, we're just taking selfies, you know? So that whole dynamic of keeping people out of your world isn't helping anybody, and it puts you at a disadvantage. For people of color, what that means is we continue to experience the effects of institutionalized racism everywhere.
That's real. Can you kind of contextualize that for what it looks like for the femme body, for the femme presence? Because I'm a firm believer that mm-hmm. when you're femme and you speak out and you speak mm-hmm. against and calling for the accountability that you talked about, the transparency yeah. that you talked about, there's sort of this thought process of how dare you or you know, mm-hmm. stay in a woman's place or stay in a femme's mm-hmm. place. You're too pretty, mm-hmm. or you're immediately angry, and it isn't okay. that the individual was offensive or how dare you speak to me in that way because I doubt if I have muscles you would.
Right.
But it's really you're too pretty to get that upset. Have you ever
exactly.
had those experiences?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And see, what people don't know about me is that A, I'm from New Orleans. Hold on, there's a very cheap motorcycle going by. I'm from New Orleans. B, I was raised by drag queens. And C, I was socialized by actors. So I don't know how to act. I don't. If people, like, I'll give you an example. I was at Atlantic Center, and I was going up the escalator, and this brother was going down the escalator. And he goes, nice tits. And I don't look at him, because why? And then he gets closer to me, and he goes, I said nice tits. And so I gave him what I call the full bar, which is like a total Roseanne Barr thing, where she used to go off on Dan. And I turned around and I said to him, why do you think that that's an appropriate thing to do? If somebody talked to your mother that way, you punch them in the neck. If a gay guy came up to you like that, and I just went on and on and on. Because, yes, this pretty girl was fucking psychotic when you talked to her. Maybe you'll think about doing that the next time, huh? I don't care. I will just, like, have a psychotic break on somebody if they're harassing me. To that end, I also know when I'm really being threatened, and I know how to de-escalate a situation if I know people are in physical danger. I had an incident last summer. I saw this lovely trans woman standing on the train platform at Canal Street, and I guess on the platform, it's hot, it's crowded, and there's some preacher yelling, you know, you think you're a man or you think you're a woman or something, 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 and blah, 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 like just like going off about gender and sex and God in a way that God never intended, never. He had no whatever. The goddess does not care about what's between our legs. And I stood up because for me, my gender identity isn't settled. Doesn't need to be. I'm totally gender fluid, and I'm totally okay with that. But I took that as an offense. I didn't look at that as this man verbally attacking this trans woman. And I stood up in front of him, and I said, you don't speak for God. Only God speaks for God. You don't get to judge and hate me because only Jesus can judge me. And I'm not really religious, but I was raised really religious, and I love it when people try to get religious with me, and then I quote Matthew.
Come on. Don't throw the word back on them. They don't never get ready for that. The world to do.
Yeah,
when they
realize the Bible
they have them went up, and then they get upset. Like, when did they let your heathen ass in church? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite
driving me absolutely crazy is the fact that there's a whole lot of people out there calling themselves Christian that wouldn't help anybody on the street. No one. You know? So this woman, her name is Jackie, I saw her on the platform, and I said, we're moving down the platform. We're moving two cars away. Come with me. So we moved down the platform, and I said, and if he gets on the car that we're getting on, the next station, we're getting off the train and waiting for another train. And she was nervous. She was scared. She was sweating. Her hands were shaking. And I was like, honey, don't you worry about a thing. I used to put razor blades in my ponytail.
I know that's right. We are going to go into a song, and we are going to come back and talk about this. For folks who have questions, want to dive into the conversation, 646-787-8623. I'm going to ask you some questions about the bystanders who may not be to the point of standing up in the way that you have after we play some Michael Jackson. Because, interesting fact, though. They don't really care about it. This song by Michael Jackson is 4 minutes and 44 seconds long. Shout out to Jay-Z. Holla back.
Okay.
Yeah.
saying. Or I want to say, if they don't care about us, they change us from day to day too. Like, they could be the very person that cared about you the day before. I'm just saying, like, you know, just all I'm saying. So we were talking about bystanders and, you know, how in most instances, bystanders will not stand up and do the right thing or be involved in any way.
There's a real reason for that. It's scary, A, and B, people don't know what to do. If you read these stories where people don't and they talk about something that happened, they say, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't do anything. I didn't know what to do. And so I wanted to mention there are actually trainings. There are, of course, self-defense trainings. The place I love to mention, because they've been there for 40 years, is the Center for Anti-Violence Education. And they are an organization that teaches self-defense and martial arts. They teach courses in karate, self-defense, violence prevention, and opportunities for community projects and leadership training. They also have upstander training, which is for bystanders.
Yeah.
So what happens if shit goes down and you're just there? What do you do? You don't have to do nothing. You can learn how to do something. People are consumed with the idea that we already know how to behave in these situations, and we don't. We don't.
I want to, you said a term, and before we go into like how you behave in those situations, because I know we're about to make a left on that road, there is a difference between nonviolence and anti-violence. And
that's right.
So many people are not ready to have that conversation. But you're here because I know that you can. So can you assist, because I have this conversation all the time. I am very anti-violent, but I cannot say I'm always non-violent. Can you elaborate on the difference in the definition?
Well, anti-violence can be confrontational, but it's not confrontational. It's offensive. It's defensive. Anti-violence is defensive, and that means, yes, you are interacting with whatever is antagonizing you. And nonviolence is a civil disobedience term. It is about orchestrated, planned actions. It's about having research. It's about making yourself visible. So nonviolence is for adapt. The organization, I think they're from Oregon, called ADAPT, and they are Americans with Disabilities. These are people who have varying disabilities. Some of them are in wheelchairs. Some of them are on a permanent crutch. Some have a essential tremor. These are just people who really need health care to stay alive. And in the 70s, these kids blocked the whole highway for 5 days. And the cops were pulling them off of the street, you know, out of their wheelchairs and stuff. That's nonviolence. Nonviolence is confronting power without creating additional escalation. Antiviolence is active information and active activism. And what antiviolence also means is being a good bystander, being able to identify people who are precarious in a situation. For example, a few months ago, there was a young Asian woman at Atlantic, and I got on the train, and of course, your classic New York subway nut job is on the train, and he's sitting behind his cardboard and stuff like that, and she's shaking by the door. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "That man has attacked me twice, and no one has done anything." And I
twice, like the door after one.
Yeah, I said, let's get off the train. We're waiting for another train. And I walked her home, and she was shaking. And I said, "Do you have a partner?" She said, "Yes, I have a boyfriend." I said, "Call him right now." I said, "The things that you need to do," I gave her AVP, which is the Anti-Violence Project, AVP.org. That is to report any violence. They will not call the cops unless you want them to. They will give you counseling if you want them to. They will follow up with you if you want them to. There's all kinds of organizations.
For those who might have missed it, the AVP. Mm-hmm. Read it again.
AVP.org. It's the Anti-Violence Project, and they're a non-for-profit. So I said, you're going to call them, you're going to report this attack. If you want to call the police, you can do that. And, I mean, and when you live in Brooklyn, you really have to think about calling the police on a person of color. You know? It was a black guy. It's not going to help. So, you know, and I told her, I said, listen, the next couple of days are going to be really hard. You're not reacting now. I can tell that you're in shock. It's going to be really hard. The most important thing you can do is get in touch with your support system and hold your head up. You have to regain your confidence. It's like getting back on the horse, you know, when somebody really goes out of their way to hurt you in that fashion. Now, I would consider that anti-violence because that was an occasion where there was a violent situation. And I helped this woman be in a safe space where she was no longer threatened. People have really lost sight of that. No one knows how to do nonviolent protest anymore. It's just not a gift anyone has anymore. No one's done the training. No one knows how to do it. Everybody just gets out there and screams their head off, and that's not violence. That's not nonviolent. That's actually aggressive. So we don't get heard. You know, you're aggressive, right? This is what they say about the angry black woman. I can't even hear what you're saying. You're just so angry.
Yep,
you're angry. Of course I'm angry.
I wanted to talk about, let's say, even in the example that you gave, when she got home to her partner, let's say maybe we weren't there for the violence, right? But we're the roommate, we are the coworker, and it happened on the train on the way to work. How can we show up in those spaces without being intrusive? Like, what is, you know, between creating a safer space and being nosy as well?
You mean for a domestic situation?
I mean, yeah, in instances where someone is unsafe, even the young lady that was attacked on the train, what would be the advice you would give for maybe her boyfriend, maybe her roommate who's receiving her coming from you? So they didn't witness the attack, but they know that she knew
when they get there. That's tough. Because what that entails is shutting up and not saying anything and just saying, tell me what happened. Are you okay? I hear you. And validation is something that everybody screams for. Everybody's screaming about validation. Validation. Validation is not something you demand. Validation is something that's given. But a lot of people don't know how to give that validation. And I have a very easy way to do that. And I call it switching pronouns. So I'm really upset. I was just attacked. You were just attacked and you're really upset. See, that's it. Same word, except for the pronoun. I just need to sit down. Here, sit down. I need a glass of water. Do you need a glass of water? Here's a glass of water. Do you see the difference between a person doing that? Oh, I feel so bad. Oh, don't worry. It's going to be okay. Because the second somebody tells me it's going to be okay, I cry harder. It might just be me, but it makes it sound like it's worse. You know what I mean? We'll manage. It'll be okay. These sort of things people say when they aren't managing and it's not okay. You really have to give somebody who's been in an assault the benefit of the doubt that, of course, like, acknowledge that the attack happened, and then get on the internet and figure out what to do to help them. Talk to your friends who were attacked, you know? Try to create some sort of moment when you can just really touch base about that thing that happened and allow that person to lead you there. So that what that entails is, do you want to talk about this now? No, I don't want to talk about this now. All right. Let me know when you want to talk about it. I'll ask you again this evening. See, that way, it's not just, call me anytime. That doesn't mean anything. If you give somebody a specific amount of time, you know, you check in with them and stuff, instead of saying, how are you? Say, how are you today? Or how are you right now? Be specific. And these are the ways that the other person is given an avenue to open up if they want to. If they don't want to, at least they know they are validated. So that is the main thing. And like I said, access to resources and bolstering, you know, good action.
That's real. We're going to play another song, and then we are going to come back and talk a bit more about this. I really appreciate, like, just this whole perspective and really showing how it isn't that hard to make a space where we might not be able to. I'm going to play a throwback with Tracy Chapman, Behind the Wall. The live version, because, you know, why not?
Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me. It won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me. It won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all. And when they arrive, they say they can't interfere with domestic affairs between a man and his wife. And as they walk out the door, the tears well up in her eyes. Last night I heard the screaming, then a silence that chilled my soul. I prayed that I was dreaming when I saw the ambulance in the road. And the policeman said, I'm here to keep the peace. Will the crowd disperse? I think we all could use some sleep. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me. It won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all.
Tracy Chapman will never fail you. I really, that song, maybe we should have given a trigger warning before we played that song, but that song, the way that she wrote that and like highlighted how serious the shit was and how, you know, folks had gotten the bystander in that situation until it was absolutely, positively too fucking late. Do you think it's too late for this conversation around safe spaces?
I don't think it's too late because we've been moving towards awareness of what safety is for people of color and older people and, you know, non-gender conforming people and disabled people, recent new immigrants to the country. We've gotten much better about having community services in their environments that speak their language and understand the customs, right? So the issue is not, is it too late to have this conversation? The issue really for this generation in figuring out how to fight this, I call it the sham regime, and I call him the sham president. The thing that people are missing, I saw a whole bunch of people after the sham election get up and say, well, we're going to start this group, we're going to start that group. And I kept saying, why don't you call the NAACP? Why don't you call the Justice League? Why don't you call the ACLU? They always have opportunities for people to work, and they've been doing this for over 100 years. Don't reinvent the wheel. You're wasting time. There are people who have been activists the 50s and 60s now who are still in activism or are, for example, in the gay community, we have SAGE, Senior Action in a Gay Environment. Go talk to these people. You don't need an adult or adult. You just need an elder or somebody who's been doing this. We already have figured a lot of this out. It's just a matter of, and, you know, honestly, if the education system has taken a lot of elements of education out for kids so they don't have the autonomy and the urge to express, like the lack of art and music in schools, I think is contributing to the amount of violence. you don't have a place to, you don't have an outlet to express yourself. That's right in line with the idle hands or the tools of the devil.
Sure are.
So come talk to your elders. Come talk to that old queen over on Christopher Street. Talk to her. She has information that you need. So I think that's people see.
A certain responsibility for our cisgender men or our cisgender masculine presenting folks to step up in a certain way and ensure that we have the protection that we need and deserve.
That's kind of a double-edged sword, because then you are bordering on reinforcing the binary and sort of buttressing chauvinism, which is not something we want to do. What I think we need to do is I think we need to empower women, trans women, non-gender conforming people with the power to protect themselves. Was it 2 weeks ago? Did you hear about that guy in the Bronx? He was walking with his cousin, and a guy sitting by a fence or a wall or something catcalled his cousin. And he got so angry, he beat that man up and he died.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, my God, you know, that was too much. And I was like, no, what you need to understand about this interaction is women deal with catcalls all the time. This guy was exposed to a catcall once, and he literally flew into a killing rage. So they need to be able to look at things like that. They need to look, cis het men need to look at that. They need to ask themselves, what would I do in this situation? Because they don't know. The first couple guys, when I posted that, who said something, they were like, but that's against the guy code. You don't hit on a chick who has a guy around her. Obviously. So men need to, and I had a guy come up to me at a party once, and men do this, right? They want your therapy. They want your emotional labor. I started to issue invoices. But this guy came up to me. I was doing a fundraiser in Massachusetts, and he goes, he's drunk. He goes, I have 3 daughters, and I don't understand them at all. What do I do? And I said, number one, this is emotional labor. I will require alcohol after this. Number two, the reason why you don't understand your daughters is because your culture stole your emotional knowledge from you. You have no emotional language at all, because you're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to find cute things cute. You're not supposed to want to draw flowers. So your emotional knowledge has been stolen from you by this heterosexual, binary, white supremacist, imperialist, capitalist culture. That was stolen from you, because you're supposed to be this man. You are supposed to fit into a mold like Thomas Jefferson. You're supposed to have that quality of character, and he was a slave owner. Do you see? I said, what you're going to have to do is read some teen novels and cry.
Novels. Are there any specific teen novels you want to ask the people? Are we going with Goosebumps, or are we more? What direction? Are you there, God? Like, what are you suggesting for the people?
Specifically, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, and Deanie. Deanie was a really interesting Judy Blume novel with this girl, and it was terrible. So that's a good one.
Super Fudge will never let down. Want to be clear.
Ask your daughters, like, ask them, be curious. You have to be curious. So I don't think it's necessarily, I think it's twofold, right? What cishet men and masculine presenting people need to do is they need to inform themselves with emotional knowledge, and we need to be able to inform ourselves with physical anti-violence knowledge and even body language for both of us. I think that the fact that men have to pretend they don't enjoy hugging each other is just sad.
I never thought about it. Emotional.
Yes.
Or even like emotional literacy. I never thought about it.
Yes. It's stupid. It's very hurtful to everybody. The binary is hurtful to everybody. People who are on one side, people who are on the other side, and people who just, you know, surpass the whole model. So I really just think we need,
And when we come back from this song break, I want to talk about when you are trying to pay your bills. Because, like, it's amazing to talk about this concept walking down the street on a nice winter day or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you're at work and your rent is due and you cannot use your emotional literacy to pay your rent, what does it look like to advocate for yourself and to create safer spaces in work? We are going to take a break, play a song, come right back, answer this question. One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. They will shoot you down without warning. Jidenna is like so profound. Like, he just, I really like Jidenna. I want to remind you all that I will be at the Howard Theater with Jidenna. I think he's coming the 26th or the 27th. I don't know. I can only do 1 week at a time, y'all. I can only do 1 week at a time. And so he's not in the week, but I will let you know when he's on his way. I think that that song is about safety. It's called Helicopters / Beware. It's really good. And I really enjoy the song because he really puts a poetic spin on the fact that, like, black bodies aren't safe, period, ever, at any time, no matter what you're doing, not even at your job. So let's talk about this. Keeping your job and staying safe. Would you say that that's a slipperier slope?
Well, here's the thing. It is a much slipperier slope. People don't seem to understand the concept of punching up versus punching down. When you make a joke, if you make a joke about somebody who is, you know, less powerful than you in the greater society, that's mean. That's just mean. Don't do that. But if you are a black person, for example, and you tell a joke and it's about white people, that's okay, because we need to be able to laugh about this so y'all don't wind up somewhere you don't want to be. We need to laugh, and you need to let us laugh. So that's the way, like, disperses the instinct to be aggressive. What were we saying about the...
Oh, we were talking about the
black bodies
work
in the work environment. Yeah, you know, I worked in a lot of environments. I have a degree in acting, and I was a dancer for a long time. And I mean, from the very beginning, I have a black body, and I spent almost every ballet class having somebody try to get me to curl my tailbone down so my butt didn't stick out. It's not going to happen. But everybody has an ideal ballet body type was just not black. So that's number one. Number two, when I got into a situation where I was working in real high-end fashion and everything, you know, the girls are beautiful. The girls are very, very beautiful. But the black girls aren't beautiful unless they're exotic looking somehow. What does that mean? Exotic? And then you get into situations where it's like, I was a cigarette girl. I used to walk around with a tray selling cigarettes in the clubs. And people thought it was okay to be very familiar with me. Some of these environments were sexually charged environments. I worked in fetish clubs. I worked in all kinds of weird places that people got drunk in. And I made money using that. So what that is taking the black body and going, okay, if you want this black body to be sexy, you can tip me $30 on this pack of cigarettes. Not too bad. On the other hand, when you're dealing in an environment that is not about the body, when you're working at some sort of, like, muggle job, whatever, like in my last job, I was wearing a midriff shirt. It showed my belly, and I got called in to have a discussion about it. I literally saw 3 midriff shirts the next day. But because my stomach is soft and round and brown instead of being apologetically white and thin with that one pack, I didn't care. I'm happy with my body, and I have hot flashes, so I need to expose some skin. It's just, you already know you're getting paid less. You already know.
Right. You walk into the door knowing that. Like, it's like, hi, we're not paying you shit. Like,
exactly.
And you're supposed to be like, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thanks for giving me this chance. I don't take chances.
Frame it as a chance. That's one of their favorite words in the whole entire world. But we only have a few minutes. And I want to make sure we're telling folks how to stay connected with you and making sure that if there's any other resources that you wanted to make sure that the people had before we parted with you, they could give that information to them.
You can follow me on Twitter at @bronzebettina. I'm also on the Facebook machine, as my name is listed here in the credits, Camille Bettina. It's hyphenated because I'm a Creole. God damn it. Atkinson. But I just wanted to be really clear for anyone who is interested in
The Center for Anti-Violence Education is CAENY.org. They have a 5-week course for self-defense. You sign up, call or email them to sign up. They have free child care. It is free for survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, or child abuse. There's also a sliding scale. These people have been there forever, and they are woman and trans-centered. They are for you. They want you to come and learn all the things. I learned how to flip a person who could weigh 4 or 5 times what I weigh off of my body while laying down underneath them. And that made me cry.
I'm sorry, I had to ingest that. That was a big sentence. That was a lot. You said you learned how to flip somebody under 4 times your size while they on top of you.
Off of me, across the room. They teach the same technique to children. And Erin, one of the instructors, told me, she said, I said, I don't even know how I did that. And she said, we've had very small children flip grown men off of them. So you must go. Because if I had learned that much earlier in my life, I think it'd be just slightly more stable. Not too much, but slightly.
And that slightly could be the difference between keeping a job and losing a job. I really want to thank you for coming into this space, being so vulnerable, being so honest, being so resourceful, being supportive when I was just like, hey, folks, just saying, these fish, this week, they're not really feeling us. Just want to send out a statement. I also believe that energy is real, right? Like, I don't believe that I'm so fortunate for this fucked up situation to only happen to me. I think that, like, the energy is out there for all the unicorns and mermaids that I know. And I just want to, you know, put a fair warning out there, and I really appreciate the love. This has been another episode of the One Mic Stand with Selena. We are going to close out with one of my favorite affirmation songs by Solange, Mad. Like, let's be clear. If you are violated, you have a right to be mad. And this world violates you every day. Every fucking day. Every day. It's the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. Check us out. Where do you stand? The letter, not the word. Sing, Lunge, sing!
Standing crowds, but it's hard when you only got fans around and no fans. visors out, and they pointing fingers. When I wear this fucking burden on my back like a motherfucking cap and gown, then I walk up in the bank, pants sag it down, and I laugh at frowns. What they mad about? Cause here come this motherfucker with this mass account that didn't wear a cap and gown. Are you mad cause the judge ain't give me more time? And when I tipped the suicide, I didn't die. I remember how mad I was on that day. Man, you gotta let it go before I get up in the way. Let it go, let it go.